Let us pray. Father, we ask you to bring us into your heavenly realms even at this very hour, that we might hear a word from the Lord. Such a word that will touch us and bless us in our very need as we cry out to you in the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And God bless you. You probably realize that in all of our lives, from time to time, there are those, what I call, divine appointments. Times wherein we meet someone who might well change the course of our lives forever. For example, it might be the person with whom we will live together for the rest of our life in the covenant of marriage. Amen? Or it might be the person who will inspire us on a career path that will lead us into our life's work. Or it might be a person who influences us spiritually and brings us a measure of healing and deliverance and salvation that our lives are healed and delivered for eternity. Such was certainly true for a man named Bartimaeus, whose divine appointment with Jesus changed his life forever. And we're going to examine that divine encounter in this message entitled The Bartimaeus Encounter. Our theme text is from Mark chapter 10, commencing with verse 46. Part number one of this message is the appeal. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. The Bible says that they came to Jericho, and as Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Now, I want you to notice the nature of this man's appeal to Jesus. The scripture describes it as a cry. Did you hear what I just said? If you didn't hear it, let me say it again. A cry! Did you hear it now? Okay. Not simply a petition, not simply a plea, although it was most certainly a petition and a plea, but it was a cry. In other words, an appeal from the heart. It was a cry from the heart of a desperate man asking for a blessing from God. Yea, as we'll see in a moment, even when he was told to be silent, the man cried out all the more loudly, because that's what a cry is. So here's the deal. Are you ready? Some of us are too Anglican. Hello? I'm speaking to us. Some of us are too Anglican. Now, what do I mean by that? We're just sometimes a little too staid in our worship and in our prayer. Now, don't get me wrong. I think there's a wonderful thing about that. And I'm glad that we have that tradition in our life. But sometimes we're stuck in the mud. Because here's the deal. Sometimes God calls us to cry out to him. Psalm 18, verse 6. In my distress, I called out to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. I'm afraid that some of our cries don't even leave the building. Psalm chapter 34, verse 17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them and delivers them from all their troubles. Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. You get the point? You see, this man sitting at the side of the road was not going to allow this divine opportunity to pass him by. And let me tell you what, neither should we. Time and again, the scriptures encourage us, yea, exhort us to cry out to God in prayer, believing that the cries of our heart move and touch the heart of God. and release the favor of God into our lives. Are you with me? So sometimes we just have to get over whatever it is we're getting over and learn how to cry out to God. Amen? Now, that's not to say that God cannot hear or does not respond to the quiet prayers of our hearts. Rather, that there is a time for this kind of passionate pleading that cries out to God from the depths of our souls and keeps on doing so until we've received an answer. Are you with me? Okay. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. That's just not me. I told you I knew what some of you were thinking. It's okay for you to cry out, but I'm going to cry out. Because I'm just not demonstrative and boisterous and passionate like that. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you ready? Look me in the face. See? I can see everybody. If God were to say to you today, I'll work a miracle in your life if you cry out to me, what would you do? Hello? If God were to say today, if you cry out to me from the depths of your soul, I will heal you today. Oh, gee, that's just not me, God. Oh, I'd like that miracle. That's just not me. Oh, no. We would, how loud, God? How many times, God? Whatever it takes, God. Are you with me? This man, that's what this man's heart was. He wasn't going to let Jesus pass by until he got a miracle. So some of us need to learn to cry out to God and not make an excuse, that's just not the way I pray. Because here's the deal. We need to pray the way God tells us to pray if we want our prayers to be answered. Are you with me? Okay. Now, I want you to notice also the content of this appeal. The man cried out for mercy. Now, of course, in his situation, he was crying out for mercy for his healing, specifically the healing of his blindness, which had not only taken away his sight, it had rendered him destitute. Thus, in essence, the cry of this man's heart was for both the healing of his eyes and the restoration of his livelihood. I get it. No wonder he cried out for mercy. Only a miracle would change his life and release him from the bondage of his burdens. And I'll tell you, sometimes that's exactly what we need also. Nothing else will do but a miracle from God. Not from the government, not from our friends, not from ourselves, not a tiny little thing. Sometimes it has to be a mighty move of God. And so what are we crying out for? Mercy, favor, help, whatever. We're crying out for the miracle that we need to touch our hearts and our minds forever. But here's the good news. Even if the miracle for which we cry isn't the miracle we get, as long as we get mercy, we've gotten enough. As long as we get favor, that's what we need. We need God to do whatever he does and do it now. Cry out, Lord, touch my life, change my circumstances, and don't give up until God has answered. I want you to notice also the faith of this appeal. When the blind man cried out to Jesus, he was persuaded that Jesus could do something about his situation. In other words, he believed that Jesus had the anointing and had the authority to favorably respond to his appeal and his plea for mercy. You may notice that when he refers to Jesus, he refers to him as the Son of David. That's a very clear indication that he believed Jesus to be the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Savior. And that's a wonderful testimony for all of us when we lift up our hearts and cry out in prayer. You see, the power of our prayer isn't because we yelled. Amen? That's not the power. The power of our prayer isn't because we prayed well. The power of our prayer is because of the one in whom we're praying. The power of prayer is in the power of the name of Jesus. The name above every other name. But what this man's teaching us is when we cry out to God in prayer, we're expecting him to answer. We're believing he can answer. We're believing he will answer. We're crying out, Jesus, Son of David, the Messiah, the Savior, the Healer, the Deliverer, the Miracle Worker. We're just not crying out to be loud. We're crying out to be passionate and to let God know that we believe he can work a miracle in our life. Hebrews 7:23 says this, the former priests, talking about the priest, not Jesus, were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, Jesus, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Question. When you need something in your life, do you not call upon other believers to intercede and to pray for you? Anybody do that? Sure. It's a good thing, isn't it? But if you could sign Jesus up to pray for you, which would you prefer? Well, here's the good news. That's what he's doing. He's still interceding for us in the heavenly realms, and when we cry out to him in faith, we know it touches and moves his heart and releases things into our lives. Amen? I want you to notice, as we move on, the second part, the resistance. Mark chapter 10, verse 48. First the appeal, now the resistance. Many rebuked him, not Jesus, the blind man, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, isn't that tragic? It's almost hard to believe that some people don't want us to get our blessing. Some people don't want us to get our miracle. Some don't want us to cry out to God and him answer our prayer. Well, perhaps they're concerned that somehow in our life we might get a little overzealous or a little bit too radical in our Christian faith. God forbid. Which usually means more zealous and more radical than they are in their faith. Or perhaps they're uncomfortable with supernatural, spiritual things, which unfortunately sometimes includes self-professed Christians who believe in the tenets of the Christian faith, but they're not quite sure about that Holy Spirit moving in their life. Or perhaps the people who oppose us are simply opposed to the kingdom of God, to his plans, his purposes, and his principles. So they seek to deflect us away from the plans, purposes, and principles of God's kingdom in our own life. But whatever the reason is, here's the deal. You can't let anybody get between you and God and between you and your miracle. You got to be like this guy. You got to keep crying out, even if they say, be quiet, stand down, shut up. Because if we let them, they will move us to stand down, and our opportunity will pass us by. So, whether the resistance comes from well-meaning people or ill-meaning people, it shouldn't matter. If we want to press on with God, we have to be willing to press into God. Philippians 3:12 puts it this way. Not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's our attitude. We have to always be willing to persevere. Amen? Even in the face of resistance. And I mean whether that resistance comes from without or from within. Whether it comes from others or even from ourselves. Whether it comes from the devil or our own flesh. It just doesn't matter. We have to determine in our hearts we're not going to give up. We're not going to give in, and we're not going to give out, no matter what. We're going to keep standing up, crying out, and pressing on until we obtain that for which the Lord Jesus himself is calling us. Amen? That's what this man did. And confident, like him, that he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. We'll get our miracle, we'll get our healing, our deliverance, whatever it is that God has in store for us, as long as we keep pressing in, our divine appointment will come to pass. Then thirdly, the miracle itself. Chapter 10, verse 49. Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, rise, he is calling you." And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Master, let me receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. Now, did you notice the twofold nature of the miracle? First, of course, the man was healed. Instantly, gloriously, immediately, his eyes were touched and opened, and he received his sight. Wasn't that the miracle for which he was seeking? Amen? So he got what he cried out for, because he wouldn't take no resistance, delay, anything for an answer. Okay. Now, of course, when he cried out for mercy, he was hoping for this kind of miracle. But I want you to notice that Jesus said the miracle was effected by his faith. But we have to understand, of course, that it was not his faith that was the source of the miracle. Rather, the occasion for the miracle to be released. For it was by faith that the healing power of God was and often is released from heaven and received on earth. Perhaps you remember the story also of the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment and was likewise healed of her infirmity. It's recorded in Luke chapter 8, verse 43 and following. It says that Jesus was on his way and the crowds almost crushed him. So you have to get the picture in your mind that Jesus is walking down the road with a great crowd of people and they're all crushing him together. Are you with me? Then it says a woman, just one, was there amongst the crowd who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. So she had an infirmity by which she had been suffering for a long time. And no one, the Bible says, could heal her. So guess what? She's desperate. Are you with me? Okay. Now, you're going to notice that this woman does not cry out like the man did. In other words, she's more like a stealth mode prayer. But both of them are going to get healed. That's why there's room for crying out and there's room for quiet prayer. I'm just encouraging you to sometimes cry out. But let's look at the woman. She came up behind Jesus and touched the edge, just the edge, of his cloak. And immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Now, isn't that astonishing? If I sneaked up behind you and just touched your clothes, you wouldn't even notice it. But Jesus noticed it. Here's why. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, give us a break." Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's not what he said. He says the people are crowding and pressing you. In other words, what do you mean touching you? They're all touching you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. Not just touched me. Different. I know that power has gone out of me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Now, it's obvious here that no matter what Jesus said, what he didn't mean was that her faith was the source of her healing. In fact, it's very clear that Jesus was the source of her healing. He said, power has gone out from me, and that's what healed her. But equally obviously, it was her faith by which the power was released and received. Amen? And that's why he says, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Remember, lots of other people in the crowd were likewise touching him. But they weren't touching him like she was touching him. Only she touched him, come on, by faith. Expecting and believing that if I only touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. This lady reminds us of something important in prayer. We're not only crying out to God for a miracle like the blind man, we're also reaching out to God for a miracle like the woman with the infirmity. And when we cry out and when we reach out, both of them are teaching us to do so in and by faith, expecting and trusting God to touch us in return and to work a miracle in our life. Amen? But I want you to go back to Bartimaeus. I want you to realize that though he got the miracle he wanted, he got a miracle he didn't even know he wanted. Not only was he healed, he was also saved. Well, at least he became a follower of Jesus on the way, which actually is the greater of the two miracles. For not only is salvation the healing of the whole man, it's the assurance of eternal life for the whole man healed. All of which began for this man when he encountered the Son of Man, whom to know is to have life and to have it abundantly. And do we not likewise encounter him also? In many and myriad ways, including each week at the altar when we partake of his sacramental presence in the blessing of the Holy Eucharist. The Bible says that when we eat this bread, it's a participation in the body of Christ. When we drink this cup, it's a participation in the blood of Christ. Each Sunday, we have a divine appointment. The opportunity to encounter the same Jesus who healed the blind man and healed the woman with the issue of blood. The same Jesus, if we'll just cry out and reach out in faith. He can say to us, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Amen? Amen. Let's continue as we declare our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate, and was suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. And we believe in one holy Catholic Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue now with our prayers.
In peace we pray to you, Lord God, for all people in their daily life and work,
for our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone,
for this community, the nation, and the world,
for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace,
for the just and proper use of your creation,
for the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression,
for all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble,
for those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy,
for the peace and unity of the Church of God,
for all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth,
for Craig, our patriarch, Charles, our archbishop, and David, our bishop, and for all bishops and other ministers,
for all who serve God in his church,
for the special needs and concerns of this congregation.
Yes. Father, we lift up those who need your healing blessing today, like the man Bartimaeus did, for Yulin, Faith. Cry out for those who need the greatest healing of all, their salvation, for Will and Mary Kay. Father, we ask you to bring an end to abortion in this country and the breaking of the curse of the shedding of innocent blood. Father, we ask you to bless the suffering Christians around the world, especially those who are dying for their faith and for the peace of Jerusalem.
Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life.
Yes, for our salvation in Christ, for our church family, those visiting with us today, for your mercy, your favor.
We will exalt you, O God, our King,
and praise your name forever and ever.
We rejoice in those who have departed this life in the faith of Christ.
Yes. Lord, we thank you for all of your faithful witnesses who stand for the gospel at such a time as this.
Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them
who put their trust in you.
We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins.
Yes.
Have mercy upon us,
most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please greet one another in the name of the Lord.
Costume change.
Well, God bless you, and please return to your seats. Tony, you want to begin?